trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth.
Teach some principles this evening on the deeper life, and we need to remind ourselves what God is preparing and doing with us in these last days, that we don't lose sight of the vision and the call that is set before us. And I'm calling our teaching today the discipline of preparation. The discipline of preparation. I think when we came to the Lord and we gave our lives and we committed ourselves to Him, it didn't take long, did it, to realize that God begins to discipline us. And He has a reason for that, because discipline helps us to hear and experience and understand what God is doing. You will never really go deep with God, and you will never understand the Lord if you are in and out of His presence. You're not really doing what He asks. And sadly, we have so many in the house of God in Christendom that approach and walk with God in that way. But there are a few who hear really what the Spirit is saying, and they capture the vision for the last days. For we're told, aren't we, that without a vision, my people perish. In other words, they simply get lost. They don't really have any aim or purpose. They don't know what God really has for them and what He's preparing. So many in the house of God simply become spectators, and they are spiritually entertained. And that is not for the overcomer. That is not what the body of Christ is about. It is a body, it is an organism, living, functioning, breathing, with members that are baptized by the Spirit into His body for the purpose to learn, to be schooled, disciplined, and also to function. That's just a few of the analogies of what the body of Christ is about. You know, I've looked at church history over the centuries, and it is so sad how the body of Christ has been so neglected by Christians. Few ministers, it seems, have the real understanding and function of Christ's body. Most only see it as an organization or a denomination or something that you join. We have all these concepts and ideas of what the church is about. Our understanding of the church is that church on the end of the road or that cathedral in a city and so forth. But they are not. That is not the body of Christ. Jesus revealed to us, he gave us some clues to the body of Christ, where he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And he was showing that fellowship is with true believers who love the Lord, who are truly born again of the Spirit. And of the Spirit they come and worship God in spirit and in truth. How the powers of darkness have tried to confuse Christendom to what really is the function and understanding of the body of Christ, the true body of Christ. And it's going to take persecution. It is going to take the end times of what we are seeing and beginning to come forth to restore the body of Christ back as to how God intended it to be. I believe that as the church in many ways will go underground, and as we certainly know in Scripture, when the Antichrist tries to make war with the Christians, we will again begin to see what the church, the body of Christ, really is about. That is why so often persecution strengthens the body of Christ. In other words, strengthens believers, because it brings them back under the headship of Jesus Christ and not under some headship of a man or eldership that is controlling. And this is what is going to happen, and indeed is happening. We know in certain countries where the Christians are persecuted, or we hear that the church goes underground, but they survive. They stand through the tests and the trials, because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's body. And it won't. And do you know why? Because we're talking about Christ, who is the foundation of his church. And you have to have your feet spiritually secure upon that foundation. If it is a foundation upon a man, a denomination, an organization, or whatever, it will not stand in these last days. And that is why the Lord says judgment begins first in the house of God. We know in Hebrews that God says in the last days, I will shake. And he says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And what is that shaking? So that all that is not standing upon Christ, the true body of Christ, will not stand in the last days. In other words, they will go under the deception of the Antichrist. That if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. We still are not really facing the facts of what is coming, and the confusion and the falling away that will take place. We certainly do believe that the Lord is coming and he will take away, he will rapture the overcomers, the bride that's making herself ready. But until then, we are each day seeing a further falling away. And this should help us in our preparation. And this is why I'm calling our teaching today the discipline of preparation. You see, we know God is preparing his end time army, his body of believers. They are true disciples who have put their hands to the plough and don't look back. They are true disciples who daily take up their cross and also follow Christ. They are disciples because they are not following a man. They are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, God will then bring you together in fellowship with those of like mind and heart and spirit, and he will give you the shepherds to feed you, because even the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they also are not looking to man, but the headship of Jesus Christ. And then the gifts can function and be anointed and bless the body of Christ and build the body of Christ and heal us and deliver us. But all of this has to be experienced. But we know that God is preparing his end time body. He's got his disciples. They are hid away. They are around the world. And they are prepared to go through the school of experience. Because we have to experience. Too many of our brothers and sisters simply listen to sermons on Sunday, but they don't enter into the experience of what they hear, because they don't have the power, the baptism of the Spirit in their lives. But God will not have that of us. We have to experience what we hear as we partake of this spiritual food. You see, he has us, don't we? We know this. He has us like the potter and the clay. He has us on the wheel, and he's molding us, and he's working with that lump of clay and turning that clay as the potter's hand, the master's hand, are molding and bringing out of that clay a wonderful vessel. And it is a vessel to be filled with the presence of God. And that's the analogy of what he's doing with you and I. He's shaping us into what? The likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's not shaping you into a Roman Catholic or a Methodist or a Baptist or following some man's ministry. Not at all. He is molding and shaping you into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And any anointed minister of God will always point God's people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has to be experienced. It's the key, brothers and sisters, to all of this. Now turn with me, if you will, to a psalm that you know very well, but you may never have thought of this psalm in the context of what I believe the Lord revealed this to me. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So there it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. What is that all about? Well, it's quite simple, really. This word taste actually means to perceive. Or it means that as you taste, you are examining. So with regard to when you eat something, we place it in our mouth and we are tasting it. We are tasting the flavor. Now, there are many, many foods that we place into our mouths that we know what they taste like. When you have a meal prepared before you, you will see certain foods on there that you've eaten before. So your mind, your taste buds know exactly what that's going to taste like. But then there are other culinaries, aren't there, that we haven't tasted, but we're interested. We want to try it, don't we? And see what it tastes like. Well, it's exactly the same with God. You have to experience. The Holy Spirit has come empowering you for you to experience the reality of the word that you hear, that it becomes part of your life. It becomes your experience. And here is this idea of taste and see that the Lord is good. Job had insight in this. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job. Job chapter 12 and verse 11. Job 12 and verse 11. Does not the ear test words and the mouth taste its food? Wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days, understanding. So through the trials that Job is going through, he is learning from God. God is disciplining him. God is preparing him through the great trials that he's going through. But he has to learn. He's got to understand. He's got to, in other words, hear the words and the mouth tastes its food. So it's not only in hearing, but it is in tasting. Now let's take that over to food. Food is no good if you just smell it. Foods can smell very nice, but it's not enough for us. We have to try it. We have to taste it. And of course, we have to have food to survive. And it is exactly the same with the Word of God. It's exactly the same with our meetings. It's exactly the same when you walk with God. You have to taste. You have to experience. That is where the change comes. It's not enough just to read the Word. It's not enough just to have a Bible study. It's not enough just to hear sermons. All of that is important unless it becomes reality to you. Unless it becomes your experience. It's not enough otherwise. And we have too many in the house of God who are not tasting the word. They are not eating of the word. They are not being changed by the word of God. And Job, through the trials that he's going through, you are beginning to see in these trials and conflicts that he's beginning to experience God in them. There are too many brothers and sisters who talk about being Christian, but they do not experience God. And this is why lives are not being changed and transformed. And there's such worldliness in the house of God. So many believers today have lost the power of the Spirit, lost the baptism of the Spirit. And that's the tragedy. That is why he comes. He comes back to us to impart the living word, that it becomes our life, our experience, and not just talking about it, but living it. And there's the difference. You can't do it in yourself. It takes the grace and mercy of God. It's whether we want it or not. And if we want it, as the Teaching today tells us then he disciplines us in order to prepare us, you see. What does also Job say in Job 34 and verse 3? Job 34 and verse 3. Wait a minute. Sorry, I'm looking in Psalms. So sorry. Let's get back to Job. Job 34 and verse 3. For the ear tests the words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. So this man is learning all the time through these great trials. The trials and tests that he's going through, and very few ever go through what Job went. But God was translating all of this into experience in his life as he calls out to God. For the ear tests the words, but the palate tastes the food. And so food is no good to you unless you eat of it. And we all have to eat because it's survival. And so we have to eat of this word, this spiritual manna, for survival. So that you experience. In other words, you experience God. So that's what it means back in Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's asking us to taste, to eat of him. Now, of course, the nearest analogy we get of that is in communion. When we share the elements of the bread and the cup. He says, do this in remembrance of me. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do it in remembrance of me. It's his offering, the giving of himself, the living bread, the word made flesh, so that we eat of it. It's all this idea of eating. Experiencing, not just talking about it, but living it, living the power, the apostolic power of the last days, because God is restoring the body of Christ back under the apostolic power and anointing of the Spirit. We are in the times of restoration, being restored, being brought back. And how's he doing it? He's doing it by disciplining and by preparation. That is how he's doing it. You see, he's also going to allow us to go through the fiery furnaces and trials. This is another way he does it. The trials of your faith cause you to experience God like no other way. Because he's purging, he's getting all the dross out of us. What do I mean by this, the dross? He's getting these errors out of us where we have not understood or we have grasped something wrong in his word. He's delivering us so that the Holy Spirit can give us the truth of his word. He's delivering us from dead works, where we still think that we're working and doing it for the Lord, but we're not. Half the time it's what we want to do. He's delivering us from that so that we are led by the Spirit. He's leading us from the traditions of men, where we're still bound, held by family or traditions or whatever it would be. These things go deep within us. He's delivering us from compromise. The very problem that the children of Israel had. He's digging deep in those areas. He's getting the world out of us. And he knows how to do it. And God means what he says. When we are to take up our cross also and follow him. Few teach that today. They don't mind teaching that Jesus went to the cross, which indeed he did, and thank God he did. But it doesn't stop there. You also are to take up your cross and follow the Lord. And what a cross, what is a cross for? Quite simple, to die upon. And what is that dying? Dying to the selfish life that is in us, where we still put self first before God. That is what he's working in us. And that is what he's purging out of us. He has to deal with the self life. We will always put self first in any situation, particularly in a trial. He's dealing with the affections of the things of the world, because the world will always get us to compromise. He brings that sword right down in our circumstances. He brings it down in our family life. He brings it down wherever we are compromising. The sword of the Spirit will come down, and he means what he says. Why is this? So that we taste and see that the Lord is good. We experience God. And you know, brothers and sisters, as hard as this might sound, when you begin to taste of this, you want more and more. That is what's so wonderful about all of this. Most who hear this think this is harsh. This is radical. This isn't good news, but it is Bible. And what is the purpose of all of this? Why have I stressed all of this, the cost of discipleship or the deeper life that we're talking about? Well, I'll give you some ideas of what this is about. He's not only preparing an end time army in this last days. He's not only restoring the body of Christ back again under the banner of Jesus Christ, but he's also making us sensitive and alert to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, so that you don't always have to keep rushing to the word, or rushing to one side, or getting into prayer and fasting, and all of that has a place, don't get me wrong, but that you know the Holy Spirit is leading you, because he's worked that sensitivity in your heart. He is preparing us for the great warfare against the forces of darkness. Most are running away from all of that. God has shown us, hasn't he, many times over the years, the analogy of Israel facing Goliath and the Philistine. And every time the Philistine blasphemed, the armies under Saul, they ran back in fear. And there, you know the story, God's got his little overcomer, the one being prepared by the Spirit. And where is he? He's out in the fields, he's away from the rest of them, just looking after sheep. See, God separated him from all that unbelief. And he comes, and you know the rest of the story. And just by the sling, he slews the giant. And the pebble hits him right in the forehead and knocks him out. But you see, he's sensitive to the Spirit's voice, because the Holy Spirit says to him, David, that is not enough. You've now got to chop his head off. He was proving that he was being prepared for God's army. And that is the schooling that God is doing with us. Too often we just simply stun the enemy. It's not enough. God has given us the sword of the Spirit. He's given us the whole armour. Ephesians 6. And I've done a lot of teaching on that. If you want to hear those teachings, they are on the website. We have to be as sensitive and alert to the inner voice of the Spirit, because he's preparing us for these great warfares in these last days. And these are not just demons casting out demons. We're told to do that. But this is above. This is dealing with principalities, powers, dominions. These are what control the world. Politics, government, the powers of darkness. This is what he's getting us to war against now, brothers and sisters. Do you remember the story of Gideon? Where the children of Israel couldn't stand before the Lord. They couldn't. They were no good in fighting. Why? Because they'd bowed their knee again to Baalism. That was the idolatry then in those days. No different. Nothing changes. Nothing new under the sun. The Christian church still has the same problem. And so, what happens? Gideon calls 22,000 to fight against the Midianites. And God says, it's too many. Reduce them. And so God reduces. And then he still says, it's too many. Bring them down to the water edge. And there watch. Well, what does the water edge signify spiritually? The word of God. And those that knelt and clasped the water into their hands and drank, they were still watching and alert. But there were others who just went by the side and put their heads straight down, laid flat straight down into the water and took of the water. They're no good, because the enemy could come along and lob their heads off. You see, the 300 that lapped of the water were still watching. And they were the ones that went forward for God's glory, for a great victory. And that is a spiritual type that we have today now. God can't use most because they are not willing to be trained in the school of experience. They're not willing to be disciplined, to be prepared by the Spirit. God is selecting now those who can discern. He's selecting those who are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit and are obedient to the voice of his command. This is important by what we're facing. I want to read something to you, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a conclusion. Something in the Deeper Life book. And I would encourage you to get back into it and read. And listen to what is said here. The army that is being prepared in this hour is an army which is willing to submit itself to the discipline of preparation, as well as purging through trial in anticipation for the great conflicts which lie ahead. They are learning by experience that they are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God is compelled to reject many of those who are called because they lack the heart to submit to the rigorous training and discipline necessary to prepare themselves for these great conflicts. They would be of little use in a serious conflict and would just be an extra burden to others, or would themselves suffer defeat at the hands of the enemy. When a general leads his forces into battle, he first makes extensive preparation if he expects to win. He secures the necessary equipment and supplies and trains his forces in the principles of warfare. No leader who expects to win a conflict rushes into battle without adequate preparation. The battle is generally won or lost in the planning stages. What is accomplished on the field of conflict is, in large, measures the result of careful planning of the strategy before the battle. Battles hastily prepared are usually lost, for the enemy is not so careless. The Normandy invasion of the German-occupied France in World War II was planned and rehearsed for months. Likewise, it is all the important preparation beforehand that will determine the outcome of our spiritual warfare and the end time ministry, as in the case of Gideon. Brothers and sisters, that is why we're in the school of preparation. And that is why we're being disciplined, because we are coming to the final conflict with the powers of darkness. And I don't have to tell you what is happening now on the earth. You are seeing it, you are hearing it with your eyes. It is not going to go away. Each day there are new revelations unfolding what government globally is preparing and doing. So God does not make a mistake, brothers and sisters. It's not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. And this is what he's doing, and just let him do it through us. The power of God will do it. You can't do it, I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can. And he's making us now a discerning people of the last days, so that we are not deceived. We will not be taken up by the spirit of this age, which will finally be controlled by the Antichrist. It is time to have our eyes open. And that is the challenge to the Laodicean church that sadly we have so much today. He counsels them to have their eyes open with eyesalve. That is the warning. That is the message. Because there are still those who want to sleep. They don't want their eyes open. They don't want to see. But there is no fear in the perfect love of God. And God knows how to deal with us. And he is gentle, he is loving. But he does not lie to us. He presents the truth. And that is why it is a discipline. It is a discipline of preparation. Do not lose sight of this, brothers and sisters. The enemy tries to get us so inward looking and confused and so on. Broaden your horizon spiritually. Begin to look up as your redemption draws near. Let us continue to seek and put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is about God's kingdom being restored on this earth. We have to become kingdom-minded if ever this is to be achieved. I know, as I close with this, there is much going on. And the enemy is fighting very hard to try and trick us and sidetrack us and take us away from our calling, our vision, and so on. But you see, nothing changes. What God gave us some 30 years ago when we were called into this has not changed. We're in the school of preparation. He is disciplining us. He's purging us. He's getting out all the dross. This is why he spiritually purging the sons of Levi so that we can be used in these last days. Because your purgings, your trials, not only make you very sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, but it also makes you very discerning. And that is so important now in these last days. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your admonitions, your warnings. It's because you love us. And Lord, we still not fully understood the high calling that we have been called to. You are raising in these last days sons who are growing spiritually and maturing now. Father, if it means that we separate, if it means that we leave our hometown, our country, our place, or whatever it is, like Abraham, so be it. As long as we walk with God and we look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, it doesn't matter. Everything else is just transient. Lord, help us with this. Help us to make those right choices and decisions and to always put you first. Father, we know the enemy is very vocal and he's always trying to tell us that God isn't faithful, he's not true to his word. But Lord, you are, because you've shown us we're to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's in the tasting, the eating, the experience. That is where the change comes. So Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. May they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. May their eyes and heart and whole being be looked to Jesus Christ and none other. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live.